Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to all our listeners. This is the Business Day Spotlight, your destination for African business made simple. My name is Mriwa Gavaza, and for today, it is a Friday, which means we do get into the economics news of the week and to sort of help us to navigate what this means, because we seem to be on the precipice of a big move in the country that is, you know, an expectation that we are going to be moving to level two. We are joined by Annabel Bishop, who is the chief economist at Investec. Annabel, greetings to you.
Hi.
No. Thank you for joining us for today. So I think that is some of the big one at the moment is that projected move to level two. Some people had speculated that the country was going to have a family meeting last night and that the president was going to say it, but other indications have us talking about it on Sunday. But it does seem like it's something that is likely to happen. And if it does, what are some of the indicators or some of the things that are likely to then be experienced by the economy?
Yes, hi, thanks so much for having me on the show. I think, you know, it's quite key, really, that we've reached this point where we can actually look forward to a reduction in level two. And the reason I say that is we've had such a severe, harsh impact on the economy, which, you know, I think you and I will talk through a bit later. But certainly, you know, obviously sitting at level three, which is, you know, where we still are, still having not yet moved to level two. And remember, you know, we were at level four in the month of May. So this level three has really persisted for such a long time. And, you know, certainly there are indications that show that COVID-19 infections are waning. And that's really given this underpin to the, you know, really need from an economic perspective to move to less restrictions. But also, of course, as well, from a health perspective, allowing us to obviously see this relaxation. Essentially, we've seen a peaking of COVID-19 infections level three. And I think, you know, that's quite key because obviously as lockdown restrictions have been eased, you remember from level five to level four, it's a very slight uptick in infections. And then obviously as we move from level four to level three, we did see a bit of a rise. And then of course, you know, the big increase under level three. And now, of course, if you even have a look at it on a 7-day rolling average, you know, the daily case increase is really falling quite substantially. And of course, you know, this is also quite positive if you look at it from a deaths perspective as well. So, you know, we certainly are finding ourselves in a position where it looks like it would be sensible and suitable to move to a lower level of restrictions. Of course, you know, the point you made earlier, you know, what would this really imply? Well, of course, you know, we've actually seen quite an easing of restrictions anyway, you know, on more of a micro basis under level three so far. And that's, of course, you know, the opening up of restaurants and, you know, some other areas of tourism. And of course, you know, that is something which is obviously going to detract somewhat from moving to level two. But of course, you know, what I'm anticipating certainly will be the big thing will be interprovincial travel. And of course, you know, really having opened up the tourism industry somewhat under level two, opening it up quite a bit more. And of course, allowing people to move freely around the country. And I think this is really what level two is. Yes, certainly there might be some sense in keeping a couple of restrictions in place still, but certainly not, you know, the level one where you basically have very few and no restrictions at all. And you're obviously just on high alert. But of course, under level two, basically eradicating most of the restrictions that place quite a heavy burden on the economy.
And then in terms of that burden on the economy, do you anticipate that whatever uptick we do see from that easing of restrictions will be enough to sort of roll back the losses that have been experienced over the last 2, 3, 4 months that you spoke about? Or are we sort of on a really long, long path back to maybe pre-COVID levels?
So sadly, we're on a very, very long path, as you've, you know, persistently put it back to pre-COVID levels. The reality is the size of the economy at the end of last year, the fourth quarter of 2019, we're unlikely to see that level of economic activity until 2025. And that is a huge stretch of time. And that's, of course, in real terms. In nominal terms, you know, in rand actual values, what we experience on a day-to-day basis, we're only likely to return there in 2023. So now why, might you ask, why is there such a lengthy path to get back to where we were, even if it was very weak economic growth before the COVID-19 pandemic hit us and really impacted us so severely in the second quarter? And of course, it is very much about the second quarter. You know, we've had a lot of data coming out on the second quarter, and it's really showing that if you have a look at industrial production, as you know, that's really important for the economy because it makes up not only manufacturing and mining, but also, of course, as well, electricity production. So three major sectors in GDP in the South African economy. If you have a look at that, there's been a contraction of 73% in the second quarter. So, combining mining, manufacturing, and electricity together and looking at it on a seasonally adjusted annualized basis, because that's what GDP uses, and of course, quarter on quarter, that is the big figure. 73% of activity lost in the second quarter compared to the first quarter, if you annualize it. Annualization really just basically, it's not really correct, but you could maybe think of it as multiplying it by four. Why would we do that? Why do you look at it from that metric? That's because that's how GDP is measured. So really what this figure is telling us is that those three sectors of the economy show that the South African economy collapsed by 73% on the quarter. Now, of course, that's only three sections. You'd obviously bring in the retail sale and wholesale trade sales as well. And that, of course, showed a 65 and about 58% contraction together. So, below 70, but still massive contractions. And then, of course, as well, we do know, in fact, the two primary sectors are mining and agriculture. And of course, agriculture is likely to produced a big positive surplus, certainly in maize, but of course a big growth rate. But that's going to be suppressed by the severe weakness of these other sectors. Even motor vehicle trade sales, they fell by 90% in the second quarter. And this includes all the activities, as you would imagine, of a service station. It's income from fuel sales, the convenience store at the service station, of course, income from its workshop, obviously servicing cars and from sales of accessories and even, the trade of new and used motor vehicles. So, a very, very dire impact on the economy. And of course, the rebound in the third quarter is only expected to be 16%. So you can see how these massive figures, of around 60%, if not worse, of a contraction in the second quarter are not covered by the return to activity in the third quarter. And of course, there are a couple of reasons for that.
You've given us, that insight into what the data is looking like. And on the annualized basis, you did say that looks like a 73% contraction in the second quarter alone. But what impact does that then have on the overall year, do you think? I'm just thinking about some of the projections that were actually given during that second quarter at sort of the height of the lockdowns. We had Minister Mboweni giving his supplementary budget speech, and at the time, they were projecting negative 6 or 7% contraction in the economy for the whole year. But now that you have some of these numbers coming out and you're actually seeing the real data on the ground in those different industries, especially the primary sectors like mining, how do you think that then impacts the whole year?
So I think that's a really great question, and thank you. And I think your point is very apt that we are seeing this incoming data, the data coming in, each month, and it's really painting a more dire picture than I think many had anticipated. We've had a contraction for the year of 10%. Actually, 10.1% to be precise. We've had that prediction really since the beginning of June, end of May. And what we've really seen, and I think this is quite a key point, is that we've seen the economic consensus move, as you indicate, through the year. So in March, there was an anticipation to see a contraction of about 0.5%, and that was the economic consensus. And then the economic consensus moved towards about 4 or 5%, by the end of April into May, and then it moved, obviously into about contraction of about 6.5% in June. 7% in July, and then of course August now 7.5%. So as you can see, the economic consensus, the economic forecasts of GDP for this year from all the economists in the country surveyed have been worsening every single month. And of course, with these very, very dire economic figures coming out that we've just mentioned now, the forecast, the consensus is likely to move away from 7.5% in, the month of July. And of course, for August now, when we get the Bloomberg consensus towards the end of this month, that's likely to move, closer to 8%, if not 9%. As a contraction for the year. And in fact, our forecast also moved. We had a contraction of 2.5% expected for this year, roundabout in March. And then, of course, in April, May, we moved to about 4.5%. And then, as I said, at the end of May, June, we moved to this 10% contraction. So, the reality is we likely to see this economic consensus weaken again. And of course, that also includes the expectations of government, whether it's from the Reserve Bank, whether it's from National Treasury, as you indicated, or other sources. So this is really what's happened. I think South Africa's lockdown has been had a more severe impact on the economy than perhaps the state anticipated, given what their forecasts have been, and obviously given what the incoming data is showing now. And of course, you know, it's a great worry because, I mean, even if we have a look at the tourism sector only has the data out for the months of April and May, but we're going to be getting the June figures next week. Their accommodations figures show almost 100% contraction in the second quarter. Now, you and I wouldn't be surprised because of, you know, the restrictions that were in place in that period. But more worrying, if you have a look at the construction sector, you know, construction, manufacturing, electricity, they make up the secondary sector of the economy together. And, you know, construction industry shows a 97% drop. Massive decrease. And that's only month on month because we've only got April figures available. But a big worry there is that we've obviously seen many councils not fully operational. What this is doing, and now we're obviously in the month of August, not, you know, in April anymore, but they are still not operational, fully operational in the month of August. And of course, this is preventing the approval of business plan submissions. It's delaying building projects. It's delaying the recovery because, of course, we're in August now. We're in the middle month of the third quarter. And of course, this is also delaying as well clearing certificates. And of course, the deeds office is not operating at full capacity. So that's slowing property transfers. And the Surveyor General's office is not operating at full capacity either. And that's delaying finalization of town planning approvals. So all of this is hindering the recovery of the construction sector. It's hindering the recovery of the economy. And of course, you know, this lack of productivity from these government offices, you know, 100% productivity is obviously hindering the economic recovery as well. One of the reasons we say this is, of course, you've seen some interest. I'm sure you've seen the F&B data on home sales. And there's been, you know, a big increase in demand because of the lockdown, because of more people working from home, looking for a different type of working space. And of course, you know, what we really need to see a fast economic recovery and get back to where we were pre-COVID, get back there quicker, is obviously the state pulling its weight as well. You know, and whether that's, you know, them all coming back to work and all these government bodies that I'm talking about, these offices working at full capacity, or obviously whether it's bringing in the reforms that we need to really spur economic growth as well. That would get us back to what we were pre-COVID quicker than where we currently are at the moment.
What do you make of Eskom this week moving to level 2 of load shedding? And the reason I'm asking that is because given all of these pieces of data that you are highlighting, they're sort of like lead indicators into what second quarter GDP figures will look like, for example. But if we're to take the fact that even before we move to level 2, Eskom isn't able to perhaps cope with the demand, whether it's breakdowns or just a capacity issue, we're not, you know, we're never 100% sure. What happens when we do open up, you know, more sectors and there is more strain on the grid? What type of risk do you think that sort of puts on that economic activity that you're talking about?
So yes, a week for double level 2, so level 2 load shedding and moving to level 2 from the economic restrictions. Look, I think, you know, the points you make, I think one thing we should bear in mind is that while we've been given all these, you know, incoming data releases we've been talking through, and of course, as you said, providing a leading view, you know, preview, a leading indicator, if you will, on, you know, what's going to happen in GDP in the second quarter, and of course, you know, a very dire contraction. There can, of course, be some revisions to this data because there's been a lot of companies that have either closed temporarily or a few that have closed permanently, and of course, as well, many that have, you know, not submitted their surveys on time, and of course, given the difficulties in lockdown, the difficulties of field workers, people working from home, you know, not having the new telephone numbers, etc. There have been these restrictions. So we must bear in mind that, you know, the data that we've been talking about could change slightly, but it's not going to take away from the fact that we're going to have a very severe contraction in the second quarter. And we expect a contraction of about 48.2%. But really looking at the third quarter now, what does this load shedding mean? Of course, that's one of our key constraints we have. One of the key reasons why we're only expecting a economic growth rate of 16% from a recovery perspective in the third quarter because of load shedding. You know, with the economy even experiencing some difficulties in June from electricity capacity constraint. And now, of course, in July, trying to get up and running. And of course, the state once again, or, you know, the state-owned entity anyway, Eskom, you know, not being able to provide the full electricity supply that's needed by the economy, and of course not being fully productive because of many you know, restraints that obviously has had due to issues over the years, but nevertheless not providing what's demanded by the economy to spur economic growth, we're not going to have a full and fast recovery. And of course that's one of the big lags, which is obviously going to drag us down.
Now, it really does sound like when all is said and done on 2020, to be just one of those years that people either be very fascinated by, or one of those years that people just want to close that chapter and never look back on it. Annabelle, Just going forward and sort of as a last point for this discussion, are you excited about anything? Because you are looking at all these data points on a daily basis and they're all painting this dire picture, as you did say. And in a lot of cases, the actual reality on the ground is worse than some of the projections that we initially had. So are there any glimmers of hope, any green shoots? Is there anything that people should be actually hopeful about?
I think it's so important to note that we've come from 10 years of damage and destruction to governance in the economy, to the economy itself, and of course, a very weak environment, slowing economic growth down from 5% at the end of Thabo Mbeki's reign, and of course, then into, well, actually 6%, I think close to 6% at the end of Thabo Mbeki's reign, and then of course into 0.2% at the end of last year, which is the end of the next decade, the 2010s. And then on top of that, we've had COVID-19. So, what we're, looking forward to is certainly a return initially to a weak economic environment, similar to what we had in terms of pre-COVID-19, but obviously slightly worse because we've had a lot of firm closures. Interestingly, we've obviously had the bulk of those closures in the construction industry. And of course, that again talks to the big worry we have that government's looking for this infrastructure program, the SIPs. And of course, the worry there is that not only have there been a lot of destruction in the construction companies, not just from COVID-19, but of course also before that from the very, very severe restrictive competition acts that were, applied incredibly radically and harshly, and saw a lot of destruction of companies in that environment. But of course, as well, just the general issues that we're facing in terms of the government offices, the councils, deeds office, etc. All of those culminating and making a different environment. So, what I am excited about is that governments looked at all of this and said we need to change this. We need to be able to get projects through quicker. We need to improve the productivity of government offices. Certainly, the productivity of civil service in those offices. And of course, as well, even looking at the manufacturing sector, a sector that's been hamstruck by excessive overproliferation of regulation. If we can cut that red tape dramatically, and of course, if we can cut the waiting times that people face in terms of trying to, get their economic activity in the manufacturing sectors and other areas off the ground quicker, like waiting for environmental impact assessments and other hindrances to foster economic growth, quicker activity, getting projects implemented faster, then I think, that would certainly be a big glimmer of light at the end of the tunnel, that we're really going to turn around the environment for doing business, making it a lot easier. And of course, this crisis, yes, highlights the difficulties, but also hopefully will highlight the problems that we have in recovering from it. Why do we only recover by 2025? Why do we not recover quicker? And hopefully that turns a spotlight on some of these big hindrances to economic activity in South Africa, which really slow the ease of doing business. Yes, one is Eskom, insufficient capacity of electricity supply, but of course, others are these regulatory burdens that we talked about. So, changing this environment, that would certainly be a very positive impact.
So that was us with Annabel Bishop, who is the chief economist at Investec, just giving us a roundup of the week's data points that recently came out. We are getting more and more data around what's been going on in the economy, different sectors, manufacturing, mining, industrial production, just some indication on tourism and also, things like motor vehicle sales. And she's just highlighting the fact that the actual data that's actually coming out gives us a worse picture than what had been initially projected. Also underlining how economic consensus has actually moved further downwards as more data points have been coming out, starting just before the coronavirus came in at negative 0.5% just before the lockdown came in. But by now, we have some numbers leading to a contraction of, maybe even above 10.1%, right? And that's just showing what that's looking like. And also just saying that these different data points give us a good leading indication around what the second quarter is actually looking like, and that hopefully things will be ticking upwards. But an actual recovery to where we were pre-COVID, she's actually saying that in real terms will be in 2025, but in nominal terms, we might see that recovery by 2023.
This is Mudiwa's Take.
The question that Annabelle asks towards the end is something that I think we all really need to be asking ourselves, why is it that the economic projections will say that South Africa will only recover to pre-COVID levels by, in real terms, by 2025, in nominal terms, by 2023? And it sort of sounds and feels as if the economy, the country is in this place where it's finding itself very hard to sort of move or depart from certain habits, certain cultures, certain ways of doing things that have actually hindered economic progress. There's a lot of systemic issues that Annabel actually highlighted, just from just the simple bureaucracy of doing business to government policies that haven't been able to grow the economy that the way that they have. So asking some of those questions about why will it likely take us longer to do that might be an indication that people's mindsets may not have been shifted as much, or the consensus is that people don't anticipate that the mindset of the country's economic policies will shift enough, even after this pandemic has actually wreaked so much havoc on the economy. So that's something to think about. And also, is a return to the economy just pre-COVID really something to aspire to that much? Because even then, we were looking at economic growth of 0.5%, and that had been a downward revision, actually, from just 0.8% at the start of the year. So is that really a position that people should be aspiring to? Or should we be our sights even higher than that, to say rapid economic growth, get employment up, increase the levels of spending by government, increase the amount of investment in the private sector, and at the same time be able to put more money in people's pockets, whether it's through investments or through employment? I think that should be a better path that things should be going on. But aspiring to get back to pre-COVID levels, and your pre-COVID level was an economic growth that was being projected downwards anyway. Who knows, by the end of the year, if there wasn't Corona, we might have even seen those projections even going down to 0.25% or something like that. Is that really something to aspire to? Or should we really be just looking at the whole system and looking at a way in which we can just restructure, get the structural reforms that Minister Mboweni keeps talking about to actually be implemented and make sure that the economy grows? So that's been it. Thank you so much to Annabel for always giving us her insights just around what the economy is looking like. So with that, we've come to the end of today's show. Thank you so much to everyone who was listening. Remember that you can find our latest podcast on Business Live. That's under the Podcast Business Day Spotlight tab on Twitter, or #BDSpotlight. And remember that you can review and subscribe for free on iono.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, or wherever you choose to get your pods casted. Thank you to our amazing team. Our producer is Paige Muller. I've been Mudiwa Gabaza of the Business Day and Financial Mail, and this has been another edition of the Business Day Spotlight, which is a Multimedia Live production. So for myself and the rest of the team, it is good evening, good afternoon, and good morning.